Pasuk of Dalit, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk of Dalit. This is a very well-known pasuk. Choseich shifto sonei vino. A person that withholds the rod. Choseich means to withhold. Choseich shifto sonei vino, hates his son. This means if you're a good father, you will hit your children. And that has to be taken with a grain of salt, especially in the 21st century. You don't want to get arrested for child abuse. Okay, but Chazal say it's a pasuk in Mishlei. There's such a thing as hitting a child. Indeed, there is. Today, when we were children, spare the rod, spoil the children. That's exactly where it comes from. We all grew up in our day, we all grew up in yeshiva, the Rebbe would hit, correct? Okay, that's the way it was. What?
They did hit,
sure. That's the way. And today, if a Rebbe hits, he's fired. What? They're still hidden, Stammer? Privately, still hate. They're also being.
Parents have no choice, monotrop. They're not paying full tuition. They're paying limited, if any. So where are they going to send the children if they say we're not?
But the child welfare services will come in and they can arrest. Everyone today is under very, very intense scrutiny. No one today, in this day and age, can get away with anything. So all the rules have changed in this day and age. It's interesting, though. I was recently in a yeshiva, and I saw, and we were dealing with dealing with high school boys, and I saw the Rebbe gave his high school student a frask. So I saw my own eyes.
I saw a student once
myself.
Years ago, he taught in South Carolina English. The English department in Satmar, they only go up to 7th grade.
Yeah.
They're Vildachayas.
I know, okay.
And what they have, an assistant principal, who's a Hasidisha guy, and the principal, I remember, was a Hasidisha guy from Istanbul, I forget his name. So the enforcer of discipline was a Hasidisha guy.
Yeah.
If the teacher had problems with the student, the threat was, I'm going to send it to Rabbi so-and-so.
And he's going to hit you.
And
he's going to beat you up. Okay, all right.
Rabbi so-and-so did not tolerate
Okay, let's see. Choseich shifto sonei vino, person that withholds the rod, he hates his son. Pasuk the cross includes the ohavo, and one that loves his child, shicharo musar. Shicharo can mean multiple things. We'll see in the mepharshim, but let me just give you an overview. The shicharo means shachar. Shachar means early morning, dawn, which in this context means that a parent, he's yearning. Every morning he's waking up, the father was waking up early before dawn to think of rebuke, musar, what to do, how to improve his child. So with lashon of the shachar, you wake up early in the morning, lashon of zerizus, you are diligent to give musar, rebuke, chastise one's child. That's one interpretation, yeah?
Like we had
it before. Right, now we hadn't. That's a different interpretation. Okay, it's the same idea, but others translate shicharo lashon of to yearn, to seek. To seek. He seeks out ways to find musar. The two are related because shachar means the morning, and morning means you're waking up early in the morning in order to fulfill a certain objective. Let's see the Mitzvah of Pasuk of Dalet. Pasuk of Dalet, choseich hamoneah. Choseich means to withhold. Nibino shevet hamusar, the rod of musar. He does not, the strap, the stick which he used to hit. Hine, behold, lesina secha sheif. It is considered to be hatred. Now the Mitzudos and Rashi as well adds a very critical word, kisofo. The end result will be. It's not that the end result will be that he will, if you don't give Musa when he's young, he'll go out, to a bad lifestyle, he will die in his sins. Okay, the ohavo, ha'oives bino, a person that loves his child, miyastro, be'ez ha'shachar. Okay, the Mitzudos says the word, shacharo, loshna of shachar, the early morning. He's diligent. Vayashkem Avraham baboiker, be'ez ha'shachar, rotzulaymar, be'yalduso. Oh, so here he's getting an entirely new interpretation. Bialduso means when he's young. Now, a whole different interpretation. The shachar of the child's life. Don't wait until the child is 20 years old. The child already is 30, 40 years old. It's already too late to give him this, so he's not going to listen. If you hit him, he'll hit you back. Right? Isn't that... that's the, we'll come to a certain point in time, it's not a good idea to hit a child, they'll hold you back. There's a story with one of the big Achashver Rav, he's a Kohen, and he has a son that was a lefty. And we all know that a person that's a lefty is not kosher do avod in the Beis HaMikdash. So the father was very disturbed that his son was, there's a different idea. I just want to give you an example of, we have to watch out. Watch out, but the father had a child, the son is a lefty, and the father was very disturbed. The lefty is a balmum, and a lefty is not kosher do avod in the Beis HaMikdash. So he wanted, I don't know if this works, because the person who's a lefty is wired. His brain is wired differently. I don't know all the parameters of the halacha, but he was attempting at that point in time to train his child to be a righty from the cradle. Don't use your left hand. When you eat, use your right hand. When you're going to teach you how to write, I'm going to teach you how to write with your right hand, so that you shall grow older and you'll be a righty. And maybe that way you will not be a balmum. When the Mikdash will be rebuilt, you'll be able to avod in the Beis HaMikdash. So, again, like I told you, it's not so simple, because a person's brain is wired differently and your koyach is on the other hand. Who says you have the ability to change from a righty to a lefty? But in any event, this is what this person was doing. It's a very chashur of this community. You know, I don't want to say, because I don't know if he wants this story to be publicized, but he was training his son, and then his son, every time the son would eat, he took the spoon and the fork with his left hand. So the father says, no, take with the right hand. It came one day, the kid picked up the fork from the cereal with his left hand. The father said, no, the right hand. So the kid took the spoon and he threw the food on the father. Like, leave me alone already. Don't bother me. Enough is enough. So the father said, Adkan, you want to be a balmum? You want to be a lefty? So be it. I've done mine. I've tried as hard as I can. Adkan. So that's over here. What the Mesut of you is saying is, if you're not going to go train the child when he's in the shachar, in the youth of his life, then in the shachar of his life, then you're not going to be able to succeed in training him when he gets older. That's adding that parish into that idea to the parish of the base.
When we were growing up, that's how they often taught writing. They take a person who wanted to write left-handed and try to.
Well, years ago, the records have it that 100 years ago,
he could only write with his right hand, because
that's how they trained him. They forced him.
What does
that mean?
Did I suffer for that
right
left hand?
That's how they trained them. They trained people 100 years ago they forced them to become righties. Today, obviously, it's not the way it is. Today, we live in a world, everyone has their rights.
All
lefties. Okay, but Yesh Rotam Bialduso, Ace Yuchal, it's still a righty world. It's a righty world. Cars are made for righties. Computers, what?
Scissors
are made for righties.
Yeah. My father had a lefty scissor.
It's a righty world. Computers. It used to be. Today, where is the go? Any, sit down by any computer terminal. Where is the mouse? The mouse is on the right side.
And it's made for the.
You could go and take the mouse and put it to the left side. Okay,
but your right click has to be a left click.
Oh, exactly. Directly. Then they go into Staples. They make these incredible these very expensive mice, call it a mouse. They make these very expensive, we're custom made, they fit your hand and they have controls. I've never seen a deluxe mouse made for a lefty. I'm a lefty, so I'm into this. I've never seen a deluxe mouse made for a lefty. They're only made for us. Today, mice are going out of style because everything is going touchscreen. I don't know if you're aware of this, touchscreen is the wave of the future, and it's already Windows 8 is completely designed for touchscreen, and it's amazing. It really is. It's a whole new world. That levels the playing field. No difference between a lefty and a righty. But the cars, the pedal in the cars are still only made. There's no such thing as a lefty car. You never heard of such a thing. What? Doesn't exist such a thing. You never saw. What?
The old phone booths used to be righty.
What do you mean?
The phone booths used to be on the left.
Interesting.
And with the right.
Interesting. Okay, so this. We live in.
Hey, what do you call them? The desks.
Yeah, the school desks. But they made already. That already they made a couple of them for the lefties also. Let's go for it. This is going off the topic. We're going off topic. So what's the Alduso Ace Yuchal Lintaisa Lukola Shayekbas Bialduso Ace Yuchal, it's the time. Yuchal linatoisa l'chol asheyechba. It's that time when you can train a child to do what you want. Once you delay, then it is too late. Let's take a look at Rashi, Pasuk Chavdalid, Chosech Shifto, Soifo Shesono. Rashi adds in that very powerful word. If you, now the Rashi is saying something different than what would appear would be the simple translation. Let's take a step back. How do we translate the Pasuk when we read the Pasuk? A person who's Chosech Shifto, a person that withholds the rod, Sone Vino. So I translate it incorrectly. It's not necessarily incorrect, but it's a simple translation. You hate your son right now. At this very moment, I hate my son because now I'm not giving him Mussar. You'll argue that's not so. The reason why I'm withholding the rod is because I love my son. I love my son. I don't want him to feel tsar. I feel his pain. So it's inaccurate. That is why Rashi adds the word sofo sisone also. Right now, the reason why you are withholding the rod is because now you love him. I love him. I don't want him to feel the pain. But if you let that love overwhelm you, overtake you for the wrong reasons, that will be yotza schoroi behefseda. The day will come when you will come to hate him because he will yotza yetze litar busra. Sofo, it's a very powerful word, Rashi adds, and the Mitzvot also added that word, hamrei mibnoi shevi musar, hinei lesina techashev. See, Rashi doesn't, the Mitzvot is different than Rashi. Rashi, the Mitzvot says the word sin is considered now. It's considered a hatred at this very moment. Because the end will be, he will come to be a choite. But Rashi takes it a little bit further. Rashi says the translation of the word soni does not mean now. Now there's love means in the future there's going to be sin because he'll come to soifa shesoni obesbino, sheroehu besoifo yoitse letar bosra, because years later you will witness this child go out letar bosra, and his ways will be evil in your eyes, and you'll come to hate him then. Next, sheikh, but a person who loves his child, what does he do? Shicharo musar, tamid labakari miyastreu. Rashi has a whole new connotation. Does not mean in his youth, shachar, in the shachar of his life, but it means you, the father, continuously, daily. So I think Rashi here is giving us a new translation for the word shicharo. Shicharo means daily, just like the sun rises every daily single day. In the morning is the time when the sun rises. That's an expression. It's a borrowed term to mean daily. Welcome back. Shalom Aleichem. It means daily. Daily, the parent will daily give musar to the child to correct him in his ways. Okay, now the midrashim, I didn't prepare all that much, but yeah.
Why does someone else advocate discipline? I can understand discipline.
Because it works. Because it works. Shuddha Kimashno, you have to believe it. He's saying over here, this works. I mean, today, the only reason why they don't do it today is because parents don't know how to do it right. That's probably the only reason.
The idea is to do it.
They don't know how to do it right. We live in a world where everyone is so. No one knows what they're doing, so the rule is you don't do it. There's no child psychologist. I can't imagine today any professional will advocate hitting a child today. Right? You don't.
Punishing is not hitting.
That's punishing. That's not corporeal punishment. That's a different type of punishment. The concept is true. But over here he talks about literally mamish choseich shifto. It literally means
punishment.
Right. So. You have to know how to do it. Obviously, we live in a different society.
They didn't believe in timeouts.
I don't know what they believe. You can't generalize. It's a very common. This is a
half time. It's half time.
Okay, bookcase is full with books on parroting and. We have over here a Talmud. I told you this one. We have over here the Talmud of Simcha Wasserman. So I'll tell you one of the favorite things I've heard from Simcha Wasserman. I read in the book, article published in the book. Only one thing I remember in the entire book, that if Simcha Wasserman did not have children, correct?
Correct.
And
we were his children.
You were his children, correct. Yeah, I shouldn't say enough. Children, the Talmidim were his children. So he used to teach his Talmidim about Chinuch HaBanim. And once a person had the chutzpah, it says in the book, if Simcha speaks, someone had the chutzpah to say to the Rebbe, you don't have Kindlach. So how do you know? What do you know about Chinuch HaBanim? Oh, he knows the word. I watched my parents. That's what he said. I watched my parents raise me. So I know, I can talk about chinuch.
He used to talk a lot about
it. You lived by him for how many years?
Five
years. Wow.
And he lived by me. When he would be in New York, he stayed by me.
Very special person. very, very holy person. What?
You don't need to know
it. Half of it. I'm a, imagine. Okay, let's go further. Okay, we learned the Rashi. There's only one medrash over here on the page. I didn't prepare any midrashim today. I didn't get much of a chance, but the popular medrash is throughout. This is the sugi of Yisurim. Okay, this is what's the pasuk. This is again. This is Mishlei. Everything in Mishlei is meant to be a mashal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael for the Torah, for various greater things, various nimshalim. And one, this refers to Hashem as our Father. We are His children. Hashem gives us Musar. Hashem gives us. Hashem causes us tzar. There are three areas where HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes us tzar. And what are they? Torah, this is a famous Chazal, you'll always hear this wherever you go hear the public speech about any Yanim, is Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. In order for a person to be Zoicha to Siat Shmaya in Torah, it requires Yisurim. What that means exactly is subject to the space. What that means exactly. Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, don't know good and well to defend the land. What it means, the Yisurim that come in order to be Zecha to Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, we know what that means. And Chayei Ha'olam Haba. All forms of Yisurim in this world for Hashem and Torah Mitzvos, all are in that framework of these three concepts. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Chayei Ha'olam Haba. These are the words of Chazal. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Hei. Tzadik Oichel L'Soiva Nafshoi Uveten Rishoim Techsar. A tzadik is satisfied. A tzadik has satisfaction in this world, but the womb of the Rasha is always lacking. Pasuk Chaf Hei in the Mitzudos David L'Soiva Einai Chofetz Bima Adonim the rekev, davar hamas. What's an
hamaspia?
What's rekev there? What is that we're doing there? Ein chafetz b'ma'adonim. I think it should be just virak. I think there's an extra base.
Virak
b'davar. Is that what you have? What do you have?
I think that's what it should be.
Right, that's what it should be. I have here virakev davar. That doesn't make sense. It should be virak b'davar. There should be a space between the word rak and the base, and there should not be a space between the base and the dalet. So that spells virak b'davar hamaspia es hanefesh. The only thing, the Mitzudas is eating something in the pasuk which is not obvious. The tzaddikim, when it says here, nafshay means spiritual satisfaction. A tzaddik has no desire to benefit from the tanugei ha'olam hazeh, from good food, from a good vacation, from anything that's olam hazeh, barak, tanugei ha'olam haba, aval hori, and that indeed brings satisfaction. Aval hori shoim, yisangu, biachilas madonim, they like to eat delicacies, misukim, sweet delicacies, varevim, also two different expressions of sweetness, the tamid bitnoi chasera, and when you seek physical pleasure in this world, you will never be satisfied. The tamid bitnoi chasera ki ravcha levesima shechicha, there's always space in the stomach for sweetness, there's always room for dessert, always room for dessert. The yuchal oi lemaloisa, you'll always have more room to fill up, and therefore when you focus on spiritual and on the physical benefits, delights, pleasures, they will never be satisfied. Rashi chafei l'sev nafsho, doimesh sheyehei sova, svar macherim enoi, the nichtav tachtov, some svar that whole Dibra Maskil, according to the first interpretation of Rashi, means doimesh. To a tzaddik, it's as if he's satisfied. Rashi is not going in the derech of the Mitzudos. He's not talking about spiritual delights. And according to the Rashi, it would appear that even when it comes to physical matters, when it comes to food, he's also satisfied. A tzaddik trains himself to be mistapek bimuat, to be satisfied with the simple things in life, does not have a desire to indulge in the pleasure of this world. It appears as if he is satisfied, techsar, but the Rasha does not appear to be satisfied. Okay, so basically we all know that idea. You have to be satisfied with what you have. We know there's the famous tainis from the Mashkiach, from your Yeruchim Levavitz. I think it's from Yeruchim Levavitz, Yechazkel Levinstein, I'm not sure. Is it Yechazkel Levinstein, Yeruchim Levavitz? Of that when you eat, you're always supposed to leave over a small amount. When you have a delicious dessert or any delicious main course, there's such a concept of you don't eat the entire portion. You leave over a small amount to show you are in control, to show that I'm satisfied. I don't need to go and lick the plate every last crumb. The whole question of halacha, why isn't that called bal tashchis? If you're going to eat, you're going to have a delicious dish, and each bite, you go to a restaurant, and they give you, bring out a main course, the main course costs $40, so every bite costs 50 cents. Everybody said, you're going to leave over a little piece of the lamb chops, you know, that's $3-4 right there down the drain.
Leave over the potatoes, don't leave over
the potatoes also. It's bal tashchis. How are you allowed to show that I'm satisfied, I am in control of my... I'm a disciplined person. I'm a bal musa. I'm in control. How are you allowed to leave over those $3, bal tashchis, $3 down the drain? The Targum says there's no greater use of $3 than to discipline yourself. Sometimes wasting $3 worth of food is the ultimate use. The ultimate
use of the food.
Those $3 that I'm bedafka not eating, that I have acquired a koyach in my neshama to show that I'm in control, to fulfill what it says here in this pasuk, to be a tzaddik, oichel l'soiva nafsho, that I'm satisfied. Even though there's more food on the plate, I'm satisfied. I don't need to eat that little less portion. How much would you pay to be a tzaddik? There are people that would give away billions of dollars so when they come to the next world they can be called a tzaddik. So $3, $4, $5, $10 to give away, to go in the garbage in order to acquire this darga of a tzaddik, oichel l'soiva nafsho, certainly that's not the geder bal tashchis. It serves a very important function. Try it at home. It's not so easy. Try at home. We have a portion. You're sitting eating lunch. You're very hungry. You have a sandwich. Eating any food. You're starving. You come home. You eat. Just a little piece. I'm not going to eat that piece. I don't know what your wife's going to say, but... All right, let's go to...
We also have the concept that will be asked of why we didn't enjoy a re...
Yes, so that's not a contradiction. That's that you ate the majority, 95% of you ate 95% of the dish. That's not called.
But it's talking about pleasures in general, physical pleasures. We should enjoy.
There's a time for everything. There is a time for everything. There is a time to enjoy, and there's a time to hold back, to refrain, to show that you're in control. You have to put everything has a time and a place. Everything in life requires a proper balance. You have to enjoy yourself, but you also have to be careful not to go too far. Okay, not overdone, correct. Okay, now another important medrash, who the Chazal contrast this to Esav. Esav, what did Esav say? Haliteni no min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. We contrast Esav, interesting contrast. Chazal always like to contrast the Ishei HaTanach, to pick two names out of a hat and compare one to another. That would be very good. That would be very interesting. You go tell a child, I'll give you two names, Tanach, I'll open up and pick two names out of Tanach, and you tell me what they have in common. Tell me a Limun Musar, a Musar Haskel. So Chazal have taken two names. What are the two names? The two names are Esav and Eliezer. What did Eliezer say to Rivka? Hagmi'ini no me'at. Give me a small sip of water. Eliezer was very thirsty. He traveled. Well, he had pizza derech, but Eliezer kefitza haderech. But he traveled a long journey. It was a hot day. I don't know exactly sure what it was, but I just want to see. Like meaning me'at. What did Esav say to Yaakov? Haliteni no min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. The lashon haliteni comes from the Mishnah in Masech the Shabbos. Force feeding means you open it up wide and you stuff food down the throat. You stuff food down the bound. So look at the difference between a tzaddik Eliezer. They're taking that also. Chazal are very precise. We're calling Eliezer a tzaddik, which is a very big chiddush, because what did Avram say to Eliezer? Ata oror v'ani baruch v'ein oror mistabek b'baruch.
Eliezer came from Canaan.
Eliezer, but he was still, even though he was the Yad, he was the right hand man of Avraham Avinu, he's still called an Aura. So it's amazing, according to the Medrash, you can be an Aura, but you're still a Tzaddik. One does not have anything to do with the other. You can be a cursed person who's still a Tzaddik. Yeah. Okay, so this is a very interesting. What?
Can a blessed person be a Rashi?
Can a blessed... Yeah, I guess so. A person has zuchus avos, there are things that are protecting him, because he has bracha, zuchus avos, or whatever it is, and they're not going in the ways of Hashem. Okay, but it is important. We contrast these two individuals. We applied the first half of the pasuk to Eliezer. Tzadik oichel l'seva nafshay, hagmini no me'at mayim. In contrast to Esav, ubeten rishoim techsar, he was not satisfied. I want you to force feed me. Whatever you give me will not be enough. Okay, now, here's another medrash, and this medrash, it's hashkocha pratis. It's as if the whole world was created for us. Chayiv adam loymar b'shvili nivra ha'olam. Many times you learn daf yomi, and there's sudden current events. And wow, look at that. Look at that, right at the Daf Gemara, it leaps off the page into an event in the world, in current events. Look what's happening in this world. So there was a story in the news 2 days ago, and that story was predicted in this Chazal, and here we're in the morning call, we have an old little world here. the whole event happened just for us. Let me read you the Medrash. The Medrash says... Okay, there's another medrash I wanted to mention. I'll come back to that. I forgot. There's something else. We'll come back. But let's go over here to a story to illustrate this idea. Elu, okay, beten rishaim techsar. It says in these words, the womb, the stomach of the wicked, there is lacking. Elu, I'm reading from you from the Psikta Rabosi. Okay, Michal knows that he's our resident scholar medrash. He'll tell us what all these things are. Elu umos ha'olam. This refers to the nations of the world. Om Rabbi Meir. The Haluk Rabbi Meir said the following incident. Sh'alti es Rabbi Dostai ben Kochva. Mahu, what does it mean with beten rishoim techser? Illustrate to me an example of what this means. Om Aloy, he told him the following maysa. Goy echad hoya bi'ireinu, there was a goy in our city. V'osa su'ud l'chol ziknei ho'ir. The zimnani imohim, I had the privilege of being present at this suda. And at this suda there was every delicacy imaginable. Nothing was held back. It wasn't kosher. That's not important. There was only one thing missing. Ramea, don't leave. You're going to love this. There's only one thing missing. Nuts. The nuts were not served on a plate. They were served in a plastic bag. El egoize perech. The certain type of nut from a place called perech. El egoize perech. No one was allergic. There was only one thing missing. They had, says here in the Medrash, they had every food from sheshes yimei bereshes. A very unique expression to describe delicacies. Avini's table. There's nothing lacking except for a little.
Nothing Shabbos.
Ne'osa. What?
Nothing Shabbos. Sheishes he made bereshit.
Okay. Ne'osa.
No chol.
No tal. So what happened? What happened? This person was sitting there and they had everything in the world. Lose the nuts were not good. Goisha party. Umas ha'olam. This we're describing. Ubetin Risham Techsar. Not less a tabla. Milafonenu. So the person in charge destroyed the whole party. The table was shattered, was removed. And the table was worth shisha, kishisha, kikrezov, ushvara, mitoch kasoi. Due to the kas of not having the nuts, everything had to be destroyed. The entire event was cancelled, pretty much. Amartilo, I said to the person, so the person basically said, so he said, what are you asking me questions? this world is for us to enjoy, and if we're not going to get what we want, we're not going to get what we want now in this world, when are we going to have the chance to live now, eat and be merry for tomorrow? For tomorrow we die. That's basically what this person said. So you all know 2 days ago it was in the news headlines. In South Korea, there was the daughter of the CEO of the airline was on the plane, and the stewardess served her nuts in a bag. It wasn't on a plate. She was so disturbed, she called up on her cell phone, had the plane be turned back to the terminal, and had the stewardess dismissed. Halfway, because of nuts. Here you have a woman, a child, that has kol ha'olam hazeh. There's nothing that she does not have. She is the daughter of the CEO of a multi-million dollar corporation. JetBlue. She should have gone to JetBlue where the passengers have to clean up after themselves. So, isn't it amazing? Mamish leaping.
Because of that, she had to leave.
She had no. She just had to apologize, and she just gave up just one of her. No, only one prat. One part of her job. She still remains.
She was the supervisor of the flight attendant, so she thought it was.
So she had her dismissed because. So it's unbelievable.
What she was doing,
Doing a job.
She wasn't doing a job. What?
She was not spearing the rod. She gave it to them right on the spot.
For the nuts?
Yeah, she gave it to her.
She was nuts.
Okay, but this made world headlines. If even I know about it.
It was right here.
Okay, so if even I know about it, so you can imagine the whole world is talking about this and making litzanis. But it's incredible. It's mamash medrash. It's a medrash. Psita zutrasa. You can have everything in the world, and you're just missing something as insignificant as some nuts, and that's enough to go into a state of chaos to destroy everything. The flight is canceled to inconvenience how many passengers are on the plane? To inconvenience a couple hundred. It's a lot of people. Inconvenience them and to fire a person for no reason. Hafle v'fela ubeten rishaim techsar. All right. Now, there's just one other quick mention I want to point out to you, and this is the Chazal. They connect this pasuk to Rus HaMoaviah. Rus HaMoaviah also fulfilled this pasuk of Tzadik Oichal Nesevah Nafsha, because when Rus went into the Goyren of Boaz, it says Vatochal Vatispa Vatosar. The ability to leave over is remarkable. Okay, we live in a world where no one is ever. One thing you can be satisfied, but to be satisfied to the point where Vatosar, that's a remarkable. That's a whole new madrigal. The different madrigals are being satisfied. Pasechas Yedechu Maspil L'Chol Chai Ratzon. Doesn't say in the pasuk Pasechas Yedechu Maspil L'Chol Chai Ratzon to the point where they say Vatosar, I have so much, I'm willing to leave over. Whatever you give me, I'll take and I'll enjoy.
Vatisba, she was already.
Oh, but it says more about her. That's what Chazal coming to emphasize, that she is the extreme. This is the clear. There are many people in Tachin. There are many tzaddikim in this world that are satisfied. Chazal. Left over. Yeah. So this is a plus plus satisfaction plus plus to the degree we're able even to leave over. That's even a higher madriga than just being satisfied. And that's what Chazal, they take that word as a trigger. Vatoichal vatispa vatasar. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Rabbi Yitzchak elaborates. I'm not going to do all the words, but. That is the thrust of this psikta rabasi. Okay, who else do we apply this pasuk to? We apply this pasuk to Haman. Haman Harasha had everything. What was he missing? He was missing something that's not even tangible. He was covered, not even covered of Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachale. One little Jew will not lo yichra v'lo yishtachale. I once saw pshat. What's takat pshat? Because it's spelled b'lashon osed. The grammar osed. He knew he never will. Mordechai will never ever ever bow down. That ate him up alive. And because of that, he brought about his own downfall. That's the pshat ubeten risham techser. It doesn't just mean physical things in this world, it means kavod. But it's tzaddik. Now, that's a very interesting idea, because when you take that idea and you plug that into the pasuk, it opens up a whole new understanding of the pasuk. You read the pasuk, tzaddik oichal l'seva nafsha. No, oichal food. Okay, so we have Ramachlaikis Rashi in the Mitzudas. Are we discussing ma'adonim, or are we discussing spiritual accomplishments? A tzaddik, he seeks spirituality, so he's tzaddik. Things that are spiritual, even a small amount is satisfying. When it comes to delicacies, physical delicacies of oil tanugi, oilam hazeh, so that's another story. So we had another pshat. Even tanugi ha'oilam hazeh, tzaddikim learn to their status, they're satisfied. But the Medrash opens up a whole new insight into the pasuk. Ochel is a marshal for kavod. The most satisfying thing in this world is kavod, honor. Can a person ever be satisfied with honor?
No.
Can you ever be satisfied? So if a true tzaddik, so you say no. You say no. I told you this story from Rabbi Belsky. The Talmud, I told you this many times. The Talmud calls Rabbi Belsky, and he tells them, Rebbe, what am I going to do? I'm a Rav. I got a Shtela, and tonight they're having a community meeting, and they're having a dais, and all the cameras are going to be flashing, and I'm going to be sitting on the dais. Who am me? Ani HaKotan. I'm going to sit on the dais with all the Chosha Rabbanim. I'm only 22 years old. So Rabbi Belsky says, don't worry. Tonight will be very difficult. You'll sit at the end, but the next time it won't be so difficult.
You're moving up.
And then the next time you'll even you'll feel bad if you're not sitting in the center. And then the next time you'll be upset if you're not going to be the center of attention. You're not going to be the Rosh Hamadabim. And it goes through the whole Bible. And eventually you'll come to a point in time where you'll have tainus. You'll have be upset if there's someone else sitting on the dais. So kavod is something you can never have enough of. But according to the Medrash, by plugging in the end of the pasuk of the Ubeten Risham Techsar, don't determine this like according to Rashi and the Mitzudas of spirituality and reference to Tanug El Mazeh, but determine this reference to kavod. It's all a mashal. After all, this is Mishlei. So it's telling you incredible Chiddush that a truth, the test, the litmus test of a true tzaddik is if he's satisfied with kavod. If you give him a little kavod and he's happy, he doesn't have tainus, why didn't you give me more, more, more? Oh, this is a true tzaddik. Tzaddik oichal l'seva nafsho, whatever he eats, whatever you give him is more than enough, and he has no complaints, no bad feeling that you did not give him a better bracha. I came to the chasna, they only gave me bracha achrita, they didn't give me the ksuba, siddi kedushin. Oh, that's a different madrega. That's a whole new world. That's a very interesting insight that comes right out of the Sifrei de Agadata of Esther. Okay, let's now move ahead. Okay, there is another medrash. The other medrash I did take note of, I did mark down. Another medrash is the tzaddik. We've had this idea many, many times in Mishlei that tzaddik sometimes refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzaddik Hashem b'chol derachav. There are many Yishai HaTanach. We've come across in Mishlei many people that are called tzaddikim. Noach ish tzaddik. Yosef is a tzaddik, is a term that Chazal have given him. We've learned that Moshe, shocking medrash, many Moshe kits tzidkas Hashem osa u'mishpatav in Yisrael. Moshe is called a tzaddik. But the ultimate tzaddik is none other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is...
Paro acknowledges that...
Hashem HaTzaddik. Oh, you have a Farish Apostle. You have many psukim that we have Hashem is a tzaddik. So the Medrash refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashem doesn't need... Hashem, when you bring korbanos, when it refers to the offering of korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzaddik ochel l'sova nafsho. It's a very deep idea. When a person brings a par, think of Bizman as you want to go bring, a shor as a korban. Carbon shalom. You know how much a shor cost? How much does a shor cost? A lot of money.
What?
$A few thousand dollars?
No,
a few $1,000s.
Cost? No. The male of the species costs a fortune. Tens of
So you want to bring today? Beis is not so partial. We read all these. We read Tanakh. We go through Pesukim. You come across I'm going to bring a shar. Oh, Beis Hamikdash is here. I want to go bring a carbon shlam, a carbon toyid, a carbon shlam. I'm going to bring a shar. Oh, really?
You know shlamim, what you could bring a par also.
A par is works. Is it works? But the shar is. Okay, so you bring an animal. You can bring a set. You can bring a sheep. So a sheep will maybe cost you $100, $200. It's a few thousand dollars. What?
A cow is
more expensive. What?
What? Cows are very cheap. Nobody wants. You don't eat cow. You never eat cow. You eat steer.
Okay,
but a young steer. How much is a young steer short?
$200, let alone...
Okay, but whatever it is, a person, it's not the point.
It has to be under 30 months.
Why are you talking about the stock market?
Okay, it's not...
That's
what okay, a person brings an expensive carbon, so he has gaiva. Look what I have brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person, he builds a shul. Look at the shul I built. I've given a $10 million donation to a Beis HaKnesses. They can build a palace. So Pasuk here says, Hashem says, the tzaddik, Hashem who is the tzaddik, oichel, when he eats, when he takes in your offering, the gift that you present him, it's l'soiva nafsho. Hashem is not interested in the physical. Hashem is not interested in the physical substance, in the meat, in the blood, in the cost. Hashem is interested in the reyach nichoyach, in the satisfaction that you, human being, has done his will. The machshava, the pure thought that accompanies the offering. It's not the animals. Lomali reiv zivchechem yemer Hashem. The beginning of Sefer Yeshaya, a Shabbos Shuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need paros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person's mind, his heart and mind. And that's interpreted, the Medrash interprets this concept into this pasuk. When you bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you present it to the tzaddik shel olam, when Hashem eats your carbon, the carbon is called bread. Reach nichach lahak. What's it called in the pasuk? Carboni lachmi. Carboni tzaves nisham. Carboni lachmi. It's called lechem. So when Hashem eats the lechem, Hashem is not doesn't care for the physical matter. Hashem cares for, the pasuk says, lesova nafsho, the spiritual content, the neshama that has accompanied the offering of an expensive carbon. Okay, so that's a Medrash Mishlei that we spoke about a lot of often, the Medrash Mishlei. Okay, so this concludes Perek Yud Gimel. Okay, this is a hard Perek, a lot of very powerful stuff in Perek Yud Gimel, and that we conclude. Now we go on to Perek Yud Dalet. Perek Yud Dalet begins. Can continue. It's not really clear if there's a new theme here. Each pasuk is really pretty much independent. Let's begin. Chachmois Noshim Bonsa Beisa Viveles Biodecha Teher Sena. We had this idea. This idea was repeated. We had it before up in the beginning of the Sefer, but here we have it again. It's Chachmos. Okay, this is Chachmos Noshim. The Rash, the Mitzudos. Let's see first what it says over here in the room. The Mitzudos. Chachmos Noshim. Kol Achas Mecha Chachmos Shebenoshim Bon Sebesa. What does that mean? What's the Leimar? Ma Medes Besa Al Besi. So she establishes her home upon its foundation. The end of the pasuk says Teher Sena, but a foolish woman. A foolish woman, biyodeha, with her very own hands, to her senu, mehareses spesa biyodeha, she's bent on her own destruction. She does things that will result in its being destroyed. Now Rashi is very interesting. Rashi, the Mitzudas over here, is coming to point out this grammatical difficulty. What's chachmos? It should say chochmos. We would have expected it to say with the komatz chochmos noshim bon sebesa. So the Mitzuda seems to say that the reason why there's a patach means kolachas. The
smart women.
It means all the different aspects, the different parts of a personality. A human being is a very complicated creature. They have many different dimensions. Women, they say this very often, that what's one of the differences between a man and a woman? This is very, very true. Generally speaking, not 100%, but generally speaking, women can very easily multitask. Men cannot multitask. A woman can be talking on the phone, can be doing the laundry, can be taking care of a child, can be working at the same time on the computer, working and working from home, and at the same time on another cell phone, she's doing an order, and she gets it all done. And most men, present company included, cannot, for the life of them, do more than one thing at a time. If I gotta do the laundry, I have to concentrate. Now I'm doing the laundry. Now I'm working. When I'm working, I can't keep cheshbon where the washer is holding. I really can't. And I'm not alone. This is noted. It's very, very true. Men cannot multitask. Women have a koyach to do multiple things than more. And that's really what the Mitzudos says. The Mitzudos is picking up on this. And that's what the Pasuk is saying. Chachmos Nashim Ban Sabesa. Women operate in many worlds at the same time. But by the way, I just want to warn you, this is not nice. Okay, that's why there are no women over here. Not that I know of. But what's the trade-off? There's no one is perfect in life. The trade-off is that because men generally, this is not my Kiddush, I'm telling you what it says in the books, in the secular books, is because men, since men cannot multitask and men generally have to focus, they have an ability to go into depth. When you focus on one thing, they have the yecholas to dig deep down. Whereas women generally will stop at a certain level, unless they are inspired. That's part of what it means. It's not an insult. It's a trade-off. There's nothing in life that is shalom. Everything in life is a trade-off. If you're going to be able to multitask, where is it going to come out of? It's going to come out exactly kalos. You're not going to naturally delve into the depth of a matter. When you can multitask and you focus on one thing, you naturally have a tendency to delve deep down into something. Of course, there are exceptions. You work on it. You can do whatever it is. But here, it's interesting that it's seemingly that's really what the Mitzudos, I'm getting a suggestion, is picking up on with this unusual word. Why, when it comes to Noshim, do we say Chachmos Noshim, Kol Achas? Right away, a woman, you're dealing with multiple dimensions. That's very common. You take the women, they're operating on, they have an ability to operate.
System.
What?
Different operating systems.
No, they have an ability to take on many roles. They're more sophisticated roles. Okay, let's see. So that's what it says. Call. What?
What happens in Kailo stays in
Kailo. Okay, good, fine. I'm with you. Kolachas mehach. I don't think we say anything in Southern. Bansa. This is a mila. Kolachas mehach chokmos shebenoshim. Bansa beisa rotzolaymar ma'amedes. The Rashi says chokmos noshim bansa beisa. Rashi also picks up on this unusual grammatical expression. Chachmos nakud patach. Okay, don't. The Rashi says, don't think that your edition has a printing mistake. There's no printing mistake. It's not a komatz chachmos. It's chachmos with a patach, and that makes the word into an adjective. It's samuch. It's samuch to the word nashim, which means. This is not a noun. This is not a noun. It's not an independent wisdom, kama of noshim. I mean, it chokhmos would mean wisdom. Period. Then you would have to figure out how the word noshim fits into that, how that relates. But being that the two words are connected because of the grammar of chokhmos, it's an adjective. Eino shem davar. But rather, Ella hachochmois shebinoshim. The wisdoms, the multiple, plural, the multiple different forms of wisdom that women have, boinois es botehem, have the ability to build their house, shemiskayemos, alidehem, the house endures through their koyach, kmo ishtoi, now he gives the mashal, we'll come to that in a moment, own, shaben peles, kmo shemfurish perk chelek, and sechta sanhedrin, which I'll come to the full medrash in one moment. Now there's one other thing I want to point out, this is an important thing, again, going back to this concept that is noted by secular scientists, that women have an incredible koyach of multitasking, which means they're operating on multiple multiple dimensions at the same time. That's also why Nashim are called Bina Yisser Nidna L'Nashim. What is Bina? Is to be Maven Davar Mitoch Davar. When you only are, when you're narrow, when your mind is just narrow, it's tunnel, just one derech. So you don't have a koyach to be Maven to compare one thing to another. You're set, you have one derech. I only have one derech in life. I can't see the bigger, I can't compare. But when you're operating, you have multiple lanes. There's this lane, there's this lane, this derech, and you, they're all open. All of these streams are open at the same time. You're able to compare. Look, A is not like D. F is not like C. Look at the differences. It gives you the natural koyach to be maven, to compare one to the other, and that's exactly what Bina. Bina is the koyach of maven davar mitoch davar. So all of these ideas go together. Okay, so this now, he quotes over here this Medrash. Now, what is this Medrash about? The Medrash, now many people don't appreciate the full depth of the Medrash. We all know the Medrash that when Korach, inspired, or he, what's the good word? When Korach collected a group of people, 250 people, to rebel, to join his rebellion.
Instigated
250 people to join his rebellion. So one of the leaders was On. On Ben Peletz was one of the top deputies of the group. He was one of the Nesim, but he was one of the Nesim. He was one of the Nesim, if not mistaken, and he was about to join and go out to fight. And his wife said to him, his wise wife, what do you have to gain? If you, Korach wins, you're nothing.
Still on Ben Peletz.
You're still going to be, you're not going to be the Rosh Shiva. You're just going to be the common man. And if Moshe Rabbeinu wins and you lose, you're thrown out. You get out of a job. At least now you're a maggot shear. At least now you have a parnasa. At least, so there's nothing for you to gain. Nothing in it for you. So he told her, "You're right. There's nothing. But what should I do? I already gave my word." So she said, "I'll solve the problem." She took off her shetel. And she stood by the door. And when the group of people came, they looked in the door and they saw, oh, a woman doesn't have her hair covered. Oh, Korach, his whole agenda, his whole platform was that we're even more religious than Moshe Rabbeinu. Kolam kulam kidoshim. So when they saw a woman whose hair was not covered, they didn't have the chutzpah to go and bang that, open up the door to drag Oin out of his bed to come and join the rebellion. They waited. And therefore, by removing her head cover, covering, that was the technique she used in order to push away the people. They went, he fell asleep, and the time the whole thing was over, they were swallowed up and burnt. Already he woke up and he missed all of the action. He survived. Okay, that's that. I think that's the end of what most of us are familiar hearing this Medrash. But there's another part of the Medrash which is very important. The contrast. Possibly there are two parts. There is the Ivela, there is the Chachmos Noshim Bon Sebesa, and then there is the Ivelas Biyod Teherzen. Who's the Ivelus? The Mrs. Korach. Excellent. Yeah. Mrs. Korach. What did she do? How did she convince Korach to rebel? All the Levim, when they were inaugurated into the service, Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the Torah, Pesach, the Apostles, it's very bizarre, it's hard for us to really understand this, is they were shaven bald. Completely bald. Head, payas, beard. We all think of in the time of the Torah, I have to have a nice long beard and payas. No. They part of being inaugurated, the Levim, they took razors and they shaved off their beard, their payas, their entire body. There wasn't one hair left on their entire body. And they were smeared with oil, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to pick them up. So when they came home from the inauguration service, Korach's wife looked at him and said to him, "Korach, what happened to you? You left this morning with a beautiful beard, hadras, panim, ah. And now you come back, you look like a meshugana, like a monkey. Who did this to you? Who did this to you?" Moshe Rabbeinu did this. He made me into a Levi. So she said, "Moshe Rabbeinu, you're a beautiful person. Moshe Rabbeinu made you ugly in the eyes of, because Moshe knows you're a threat. He knows you're a threat. He wants to make you look ugly. Moshe Rabbeinu knows how to play the media. He knows everything depends on the way the president smiles and the way you look. And if you'll be presented to the Hamoinam as an ugly person with no beard and no hair, you look sickly. then no one's going to, you will not have public support and you will not be a threat to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is exactly what Mrs. Korach said to Korach. And she said, Korach, you got to put an end to this. You got to get rid of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's playing games with you. You should be the Rabban Shel Yisrael. Out with Moshe Rabbeinu. So she convinced them. She drove him crazy. She drove him crazy. Maybe because she wanted to be the first lady, obviously.
What?
It says that to Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, he said, Eilich v'imlich b'divisi, when they wanted to make him the...
Yeah, you don't have a white beard.
Yeah, so the next day he became gray.
Because he had a fight with his wife.
The Yidin of the Atamazoylan Giyad until he got...
She drove him crazy, exactly.
So what is...
Kereach, baldy, passive, yeah. Rabbi Akiva was also bald. Kol ha-talmid ha-chamin, chutz mina kereach hazeh. And that was the Rabbi Akiva. What?
Alicia was born.
They made fun of him. Go kereach, go away, kereach. You're born. So what is the message? So the message is the contrast, the fulcrum, which these two incidents, the difference between the beginning of the pasuk and the pasuk is all built upon here.
So you see, all the people were angry people.
What?
You see, they were angry. Rabbi Akiva used to bite Talmid
HaChachamah,
right?
Rabbi Akiva, when he would have.
Isha sent the beers after the kids.
Yes, yeah.
Korach was Korach, right? So you see, all the three old guys were very...
Angry people.
They took it out.
Interesting. But the point is, the difference between, we have two parts of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk discusses Chachmos, Noshim, Ban, Sebesa, Oin, Ben, Pelas. The wife, Ishtoi, Shal, Oin, Ben, Pelas. A woman. And what did she do? She used her hair. She used Seor hair in order to bring about, to build a world, in order to save a family. And Korach's wife also used hair. Both also use Seor in order to destroy. So when you look at the whole Medrash, the focus of the Medrash is not only the woman, it's all about Seor. Seor Bechlal is a very interesting one exactly. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us with here? What's the purpose of here? What is the purpose of here? It's Yoifi, this week's parasha is really the big topic. Vihunar, he was Masal Sel Bisaro. He was curling his hair. Here is described as Yoifi. One of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the human body is Seor. Chazal say, why do women cover their hair? Because the beauty of a woman is in her hair. And part of the concept of tzinius requires a woman to cover her yoifi. So here is scientifically Dr. Fuchter. What do doctors say? What is the purpose? What function does hair on the head? In the nose, we know
it keeps you warm.
What? Is it inside the body like the nose? Okay, that's good for takes away infection. It's a filter, right? But what about on the head? I'm sure there is some science. What? There is some science to it, what it does, al derech hateva, but in Chazal's eyes, it appears... What?
A lot of us would be in deep trouble.
But in Chazal's...
Yeah. Grizz don't grow in the big street.
Right. That's the best one. But in Chazal's words, it appears at face value, Seor captures the concept of yoifi, of beauty. Yosef was what?
Esav
was ish soir.
There's nothing in it. Just
yoifi, just chitzonius. Yoifi without panemius. It's a concept of yoifi. And the concept of yoifi, beauty, now that we substitute the word yoifi, beauty, Chanukah is all about yoifi, hadar. An estrog is, what's hadar? A beautiful estrog, yoifi. What creates hadar? What is the Chanukah all about? A beautiful menorah. Is a mahadrin, the whole yom of Chanukah is about yoifi. What is Yavan? Yavan appreciated yoifi. Yaft Elokim li yafes, v'yishkoin b'ohalei shem. The Yefes, the Yoifi, has to be incorporated within the framework or foundation of Torah. But when the Yoifi is taken just for itself, without, just all alone, that already is Churban. That is a source of korban. And this pasuk, really, you know, you're dealing with nosh. Noshim is ein isha. There's multiple mar mechazal. The one mar mechazal, everything has to be taken in context. Ein isha ella li yoifi. A woman has the chaykh of yoifi. Okay, that's not. But in yoifi, so here we're dealing with women, and we're dealing here with one of the koichos of an isha. Specialties of an isha is yoifi, beauty, and that yoifi. And what is seyar? What
the sense of aesthetic?
That's what they specialize. That's their koyach, an appreciation of yoifi. And what is this medrash about in Nashim? And what is the fulcrum of this? The between these two women, it is this yoifi seyar, which is in Chazal's terminology yoifi. When the wife of Korach saw a lack of yoifi, this triggered her to insanity, to do things, to lead a rebellion. It was all to her credit. Behind every successful husband is a surprised. A husband is a mother-in-law, but really it is the wife that really is the koyach. She used this yoifi in order to lead him to do these crazy things. And chochmos noshim bonse beisa, the koyach of yoifi, she showed her yoifi, the koyach of yoifi is what she used in a much deeper sense. She used her yoifi, in Mamish Miracle of Chanukah, she used her yoifi in order to establish a home. Om and Pella survived this very difficult situation. Okay, let's just go to another pasuk. Pasuk beis. Choylech biyashoy yirei Hashem. A person that goes in his uprightness, he goes straight. Always goes Hashem bores lekim yashar. So it's been natural. Vehein bikshu chishvenos rabbis, and people they always looking to make trouble. Is a yirei Hashem person. That's a yirei Hashem. And Melu will go in the straight of straightness. Unelois, a person that turns aside. It's not natural. When you go in a car naturally you go straight. You have to apply pressure. You have to do something that's not natural to go and turn astray. When you're going through life, it's natural to go yashar. If you want to go to the side to deviate, you're going against the grain. Unalois derachov, a person that goes off the derech, he turns aside in his ways, bozeh will ultimately be the day they will despise him. Now, who's the day? Let's take a look at the mitzvahs. Pasuk beis hoylech biyashar, hoylech derech yashar. Person that goes derech yashar, who yirei es Hashem. He is yirei Hashem. V'hameisir derachav min hayosher yivaze es hoylech biyashar. So, according to the mitzvahs, the bozeh means this individual. There are different interpretations, but this individual who has decided to go off the derech, to deviate from the derech, he. Yivazeh will despise the subject of the beginning of the pasuk. He, Yivazeh, es haholech biyashroi, ki machshivoi likesil. A person who goes off the derech, he looks at the other people who are on the derech, you're crazy. Why are you traveling on a paved road when you can go in the forest and suffer? That's exactly what it says. That's part of the sickness of a person that goes astray. Look at the Beis Pasuk. Look at Pasuk Beis in the Rashi. Aholich biyasha yirei mishahu yirei Hashem. So Rashi, you have to read the Pasukim backwards. Yirei Hashem, the Pasuk, Rashi telling us you should start the Pasuk with the words yirei Hashem. A person who is yirei Hashem, mishu yirei Hashem, umishu nolois derachim. Okay, then the end of the Pasuk, when you read the second, you have to read that part first. Unelois drachim, the subject of the person who is a nelois darkoi drachim kolaymar oikem drachav bozeu. So here Rashi learns different than the mitzudos. Bozeu, this individual who goes off the derech, bozeu lehakadosh baruch hu, not to the beginning of the pasuk. Ragin, the mitzuda says the one who went off the derech, he despises the one, he disgraces and despises the individual who is still on the derech, who is on the derech. Rashi learns the one that goes off the derech, he comes to despise and disgrace the mevaze HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Different interpretation. Okay, just to conclude with one, just one yisod of Yosha and going off derech is this is what the Chazon is. The Chazon is very well known for this. He opened up the world to this idea. The Davar Pasha, but he really is that when you give brachos, the Chazon is held, you don't have to give brachos. The Ikka bracha is Hashem should take away from a person distractions. We always think, go for a bracha, give me a bonus, give me an injection of adrenaline, give me some steroids, I can do more and more and more. The chaz, they don't need that. If every person has more than he can possibly, more bracha than he can possibly need in this world. What you need in this world is protection, not to be distracted. A child will always come out good, he holds. Problem is, there are so many distractions that take the child nolos. They take him off to the side. So when a parent is mispalled for a child, the ikka kavana should be, Hashem, please remove from my child all of the distractions that will take him away from what he would naturally do, the natural goodness that he would follow if he would not be distracted. And that's really what it says here. Hoylech b'yosho yirei Hashem. When you lose it, the laws, the rach of bozeu, when the person goes astray, it's not natural. It's not yosha. It's because of the distractions that are pulling you to the side. All right, what do you want to say?
I just want to ask a question. Today's society, the way we live, unfortunately, we have a lot of intermarriage and a lot of people leaving the faith. Is it plausible that those who have left the faith are indeed making fun of those Orthodox?
You can't generalize. There are so many variables. You can't generalize. Everything. There are so many different opinions about this. I don't know the answer.
The Rebbe of Zusha.
Yeah.
Say, when I come to the Oil Man, as the Nadgane is, we always like the Rambam or someone else.
Rebbe Zusha. Why wasn't that Zusha? You have to bring out your own kaychas. Okay, we'll stop here.